Last year in chapel, we took the book of John and began to expound on some of the truths in the book of John, the Gospel of John. And I think we'll be going back to that, Lord willing, some this year. But I had some really strong thoughts on my heart. Really early in the summer, I started thinking about some things that I wanted to share with our school this year, content as far as it goes in the book of Proverbs. And so the book of Proverbs is the one and only book in the Bible that is written specifically for the admonition of young people. It is filled with these two words, my son, my son, my son, my son, my son. Of course, that applies to my daughter as well. But all the way through the book of Proverbs, there is this constant calling of Solomon's children to give attention to God's word, to give attention to the Spirit of God, to the work of the Lord in their life. And so it has that distinction. It is the book in the Bible for you. It is the single most important book that imparts wisdom to young people. So it has that particular distinction. There is another book in the Bible, two books actually, 1st and 2nd Timothy, that are written to a young preacher. And those are equally good, but they're not specifically directed to young people. And so as we go to Proverbs, every word of it is rich and great and really, really good, especially for people your age. And so let's look at chapter number 1, and I want you to find a word. I want you to look for the word instruction. I want you to look for the word instruction. I'm going to read from chapter 1, beginning at verse 1 down through verse number 9. And if you take notes in your Bible, I'd like for you to underline that word instruction. If you do not, if you're one of those people that doesn't like to mark in your Bible, then at least underscore that in your mind and emphasize it in your mind. And we're going to talk about that one word, Lord willing, maybe today and possibly next week as well. So let's look at it. See if you can find the word with me, all right? Verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and, here's our word, instruction. To perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction, there it is again, the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase in learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord, the book really begins in verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and what? Say that word with me. Instruction. Now verse 8, my son, hear the what? The instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. Now, those 9 verses is what we're going to look at just briefly today. You can be seated, and please help me out today, okay? Please help me out this morning. Eye contact is so important to me, and interaction, and just knowing that you're plugged in. That's very, very helpful to me. And so please help me out with all of that today, and I'll try to keep it as pithy and usable as I possibly can here. But make sure that you're plugged into this, because this is an incredible word. The word instruction, that word is used 33 times in the Bible. Now, it has another relative, the word instruct, and that word is used another 9 times in the Bible. But just that word instruction alone, not its cousin there, but just that word instruction alone, out of the 1,189 chapters in God's Word, only 22 of those chapters have that word in it. Only 22 out of 1,189. And if you organize all of those verses, if you laid them down consecutively so that you didn't have to turn to them each time, you could read every verse in the Bible that has the word instruction in it, listen to this, in only 3 minutes and 40 seconds. That's the only amount of time it takes you to read everything that the Bible has to say about the word instruction. There are 6 Old Testament books that have the word in it. There's 1 New Testament book that has the word in it. And that word, of those 33 occurrences of the word, 25 of them are in Proverbs. Now, I want you to put that into perspective for just a minute, okay? I know this sounds like a long mathematical message here, but think about that with me. It's only in the Bible 33 times. 25 of those 33 times, it is in the book of Proverbs. That means the book of Proverbs is the concentrated source of information on the discipline of instruction. And what I want you to, the reason I'm pointing all that out is because 75, according to the math, 75.76% of the occurrence of the word instruction is in Proverbs by itself. And there's 915 verses in Proverbs. I did the math on this. 915 verses. And of those verses, those 25 times that that word is used constitutes 2.73% of the book of Proverbs. So it's a small section where the word instruction is used, but it has such a broad application. It has such an enormous emphasis in the sections where this word is used. Now, you know, sometimes when my mother-in-law, bless her heart, she wants to do something special for my kids. And so at Christmas time, my mother-in-law will buy a gift sometimes for my kids. And then she curses me with having to put it together. Like sometimes it'll be a, I don't remember, one time, you know, that she gave these different things and it just all came in boxes. And I'm like, man, I don't want to have to put this stuff together. So being a stubborn person, I unpackage the box, lay all the stuff out on the ground. I start looking at it and formulating in my mind how this thing is supposed to go together. And I say, oh, I think I have it. I think I got it. And I just start, you know, putting screws here and nails here. And I put this whole thing, and it just starts kind of working together. And I get about a third of the way through it, and it doesn't look anything like the picture on the box looks like. Have you ever been there before where you put this thing together? Now, what did I miss? The thing that I really missed in that application is I should have read the instructions, right? Because no matter how intelligent or well put together you think your life is, there are instructors and instructions that are given in our lives that help us to make sure that we don't take some step too early or take some other step too late and mess up a whole process. So in Proverbs, instruction is really exalted. And instruction in the book of Proverbs is an extremely interesting word because I want you to pay attention to this right here because it's what we call a masculine noun. Now, a masculine noun is the opposite of a feminine noun. And when we talk about a feminine noun, for example, it's kind of ladylike. Those words are intended to be understood in a ladylike manner. That's the word wisdom. Every time in the book of Proverbs the word wisdom is used, it's always depicted in the female gender. It's called her or she. And wisdom is very ladylike. Wisdom is very passive. Wisdom is very mild-mannered. Wisdom is sort of, you know, polite and courteous, very ladylike. But instruction isn't that way. Instruction is the masculine noun. And here's what it means. It means that it gives its information without consideration of feeling. It gives its information, it imparts its information without consideration of whatever emotions you may be going through at the time. If I sat down with that Christmas gift and I said, you know, I'm in a happy mood, I'm going to be in a bad mood if I didn't read the instructions. Because ultimately, it winds up becoming this jumbled up mess that I didn't intend for it to be, and the designer of the package didn't intend for it to be that way either. And so instruction is that way in a young person's life. And when Solomon opens his words of wisdom, when he begins to deliver his most powerful words of wisdom, he doesn't even get halfway through the first chapter before he's used that word instruction. Did you count them in the passage that we read? How many times did you count it? I counted it four times. Very good. I counted it four times in the opening remarks of the book of Proverbs. Instruction, 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 instruction. Now, instruction and instructors are people, events that God places in your life as a young person to get you to the next step or to prepare you for whatever needs to be done next. And one of the saddest things that I've seen about young people is that most of you struggle with the terrible condition of impatience. You don't want to wait. You don't want to sort of tarry and linger and let the process go through. And so a lot of times we exaggerate things. A lot of times as a young person you may say things that aren't exactly true. And some of the reason why is because you want to bypass instruction. That's why people cheat on tests. That's why people cheat on tests. And that's why we have such a huge penalty for cheaters. It's not because we personally don't like you. It's because we don't want you skipping important steps. The curriculum, the lectures, the instructors have been trained not to jump you from one place all the way to a diploma, but to take you incrementally, step by step by step by step by step, through this process so that you're picking up tools as you go, right? And so that's in a nutshell, that's sort of the word instruction. That's sort of what it means. Sometimes it is interpreted in the Bible as chastisement. Does anybody know what chastisement is? Chastisement is when you get a whooping, right? Sometimes in the Bible it's interpreted reproof. Sometimes in the Bible it's a reference to correction. So instruction has the power to be negative. And in many, many cases, young people don't respond well to it. A young person would rather be goofing off. Than listening to instruction. Now let's put this on the ball field. All right? How many ball players do we have? Volleyball, football? Give me them hands. Oh yeah, man. We're gonna win this year. This is gonna be a big year, brother. I'm telling you, man, we're bringing home the goods. All right, so here's the thing. All right, you have the game time. The game time is easier than practice. Has that been y'all's experience? The game, the actual performance, when the crowd is there and people are cheering you on. You get all this emotional reaction. You know, we pep you up. We're playing a school song on the bus, and we're fist pumping, and we're high-fiving, and we're carrying on, you know, and just getting, you know, trying to get in the mood for this game because we want to go out there and we want to be hyped. We want to be buzzed. You know what I'm saying? We want to be out there and be all excited about it. So we have people that cheer, and sometimes Coach and me will lead a cheer from the stands, you know, and that's all game time, right? Not even make a poster that says "Go Freedom," or do that crazy cheer that our insane volleyball players do. You know, where they're rocking back and forth and they're going up into the, yeah, like that. You know, I can't even do it, man. It frightens me every time they do it. I want to crawl off somewhere and just hide, and because it's so aggressive and it's so exhilarating, right? Practice isn't that way. Practice is where the instructor has an opportunity to point out your weaknesses. And in practice, you might get your feelings hurt, right? In practice, an instructor, a coach, may look at you and say, if you do that in the game, if you do what you just did right there, if you make the mistake you just made right there in the game, you're going to be running laps. Or if you do that in the game, you're going to cost us the game, or you're going to hurt us. And so we have far more practices than we do games, right? And you'll have, in your Christian school experience, you'll have far more classes than you will graduations. This is the nature of instruction. And what it does is it permits you to sit at the feet of someone who has been where you are and has charted that course already, been down that road already. And if, in some cases, if they have to, they can take you by the hand and lead you down that road. In other cases, a real instructor understands this. If they can't lead you down that road, they may have to get behind you and shove you down that road. Does that make sense to everybody here? But a real, thank you, brother, a real instructor, it will one day, I promise you, man. A real instructor, they understand what it means to give a student a push. Sometimes parents have to be instructors, right? Right? Sometimes parents have to be negative. Sometimes teachers have to be negative. Sometimes principals have to be negative. Listen to this. I want you to understand something very important. Sometimes friends have to be negative. Sometimes friends have to look at you and say, you know what? You didn't give your best on that. And here's the point that I want to make today, is that sometimes that negative information, that instruction, it may be cold and it may be harsh and it may kind of wound you or hurt your feelings a little bit, but it is absolutely exactly what you and I need. Now let me show you the verse. Are you ready? Go to verse number one. I want you to see this, and I want you to see it very well. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Here's his opening remark, verse 2, to know wisdom and instruction. Wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. Now, what I want to point out to you is that there's a list of words here. And the core word that all of these other words are situated around is the word instruction. Now check this out. If you get instruction, you as a bonus, notice verse number 2, you get wisdom. If you get instruction, you'll notice in verse number 3, you will get these words, justice and judgment and equity. If you get instruction, verse 4 adds, you'll get subtlety. To the young man, you'll get knowledge and discretion. This is a mature person. But this mature person cannot arrive at this place until they have gone down the road a little way with instruction by their side. Now, here's the point that I want to make, and we're really close on time here, so let me make it very quickly. Here's the point that I want to make. I have to abide by this as a pastor. I have to abide by this as a school administrator. I have to abide by this in almost every, as a business owner, in almost every area of my life. I have to abide by the reality that the more important thing is instruction. Instruction is more important than friendship. Instruction is more important than fun. Instruction is more important, and I'm talking about biblical instruction, academic instruction, extracurricular instruction, sports instruction, coaching. That's more important than anything else. And so what I want to encourage you to do in this opening chapel, we had one last week, but it really wasn't chapel. What I want to encourage you to do in this opening chapel is this, is really get a grasp on the importance of instruction. And embrace it and own it and want it. Because if you go down to the passage, if you drop down to verse number 7, he says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But what does he say there? Fools despise wisdom and instruction. In just a few years, you might be a confirmed fool. Now listen to this. This is instruction. Are you ready? I'm not going to be positive, and I'm not going to be able to smile when I say this. When you turn 18, we are going to find out everything you believe. We're going to find out whether you have been a hypocrite or true. And our instruction is going to manifest itself at the moment that you turn, you get freedom, at the moment that you get this liberty in your life and you feel like a grown-up all of a sudden. At that moment, we're going to be able to discern finally and ascertain finally whether or not you are a wise young person or a fool. And I got to tell you the truth. If you enter, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Every child has a certain amount of foolishness in them. And if you carry that foolishness over into adulthood, it's almost impossible for us to pull you back. I want you to get that with me. Because if you carry your foolishness into a marriage, if you carry your foolishness into a financial commitment, if you carry your foolishness into your career, if you carry your foolishness into your spiritual experiences, your church life and things of that nature, that foolishness is going to touch everything. It's going to contaminate everything. And so it is our job, let me use my word, are you ready here? As instructors, to purge that out of you. It's our job as instructors to get rid of the foolishness and finally settle in on what is going to set your life on the correct path. I had a teacher, I'm going to tell you her story really, really fast. Her name was Mrs. Kruger. Her name was Mrs. Kruger. I had other teachers. Can I confess it? Will y'all listen to me if I say something a little personal? Will y'all not hold it against me? I had some teachers I wanted to kill them. And I had some teachers that wanted to kill me. Can I confess that? But then I had Mrs. Kruger. And Mrs. Kruger, I don't know what she saw in me, but she decided to invest. Maybe she felt sorry for me. I don't know, because of the way I was brought up or whatever. I don't know. And Mrs. Kruger, there were times when I, looking back, I didn't know what was going on then, but looking back on it, I know there were times when she was taking me by the hand and pulling me along, because I was the first person in my family to graduate from high school. Did you know that? Every single one of my brothers and sisters, except for my twin brother, every single one of them dropped out of high school. I was the first one to graduate from high school. And Mrs. Kruger, believe it or not, she had taught my other brothers and sisters before they dropped out. She didn't want that to happen to me. So she became an instructor in my life. And there were times when she would take me by the hand and she would be encouraging. And she'd say, come on, you can do this. You stay at it. There were times I'd get lazy and I felt like Mrs. Kruger was my worst enemy, because she was poking me and jabbing me and prodding me and pushing me. And if you're not careful as a young person, listen to this very closely, kids. If you're not careful as a young person, you'll let your laziness take over. But the instructors that God has placed in your life in the form of parents and teachers and pastors and good friends, those instructors that God has placed in your life, if they really and truly love you, they're going to push you. And if they have to, they might hurt you a little bit. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, faithful are the wounds of a friend. You know you got a real friend when they'll tell you the truth, even when it hurts you. Right? And so let instruction have its way. Otherwise, you become, verse 7, you become somebody who, a fool who despises wisdom and instruction. If you're already thinking these kind of thoughts, I hate it when people tell me what to do. You're a fool. I don't want to rain on your parade, but I'm going to give you a real eye-opening statement. Are you ready? People are going to be telling you what to do your whole life. There's never a time when you are going to be out from under authority of some kind. You got to get used to that, and you got to harness the power of that and use that. Otherwise, you're going to become a useless fool who has virtually no compass in life and no ambition to create or do anything that's going to be worthy of accomplishment. So he talks about that fool who despises instruction. Then in verse number 8, he gives one admonition. I'm closing with this. My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Now you could take father and mother out of there and you could add other words, other names, other people into that. You could say, hear the instruction of your pastor. Hear the instruction of your school teacher. Hear the instruction of a wise friend. You could fill in the blank with a whole lot of different things there. That's not the emphasis. The emphasis is instruction is paramount and instruction is key. If you ignore instruction, it'll be obvious that you have. It'll be obvious.